Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is my co-host, my lovely wife, CFO, all the things. Melissa Nickerson is here.
Hi there.
As we are in our state-of-the-art recording studio / the due south wall of our bedroom. Thank you for tuning in, everybody, to our little podcast that could, Backseaters. It's so great to have you back there.
Yep.
As we drive this ship to the depths of the sea, as we take one hand of this wheel and have an open container of, I don't know where I'm going with this. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. Got an exciting podcast here for you today. We've got a couple listener emails at the end. We've got a couple bingo dingo reviews of a Head in the Heart concert and She-Hulk. We're going to talk about the long overdue in the East Coast trip, and specifically we're going to talk about like sports travel with your when you're with your kids and you're out of state or you're on the tournaments. Remember those weekend hotels and such, trips like that, plus whatever else comes up. We've got a lot to cover here, but thank you everybody for being such a faithful fan base. We are so grateful. And those of you that leave reviews for the podcast, thank you. Also those of you that leave reviews for the books, all super helpful. Sharon, telling people about this,
We appreciate it.
I'm just getting a little sentimental right now.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you have an extensive fan base, and you pick them up in different areas.
Yeah.
And there are layers to the quality of fan that you get in different places. Like, TikTok is the worst fan that you can get. I'm grateful that they follow me and they like my content, but it's not a... They're just like, give me the things. Give me the stuff. Scroll. There was this guy who did this TikTok today. He's like big on TikTok. Brody Walker, something like that. And he's like stepping away, and he did this like for a little bit. He did this big thing where he said, first off, this was the guy I think I told you. He's got like millions of followers. Okay. And he like debuted a short film and like 50 people went or bought that online ticket or whatever. Oof. And that's the point, is that TikTok is very hard to convert to real fans. It's shallow.
Yeah, they're not buyers. Exactly.
Yeah. And he said like...
Parable of the seeds.
Which parable of the seeds, Melissa? The mustard seed? The sower? Oh, which parable are you referring to? I will not bail you out here.
The seeds are thrown. And some get eaten by the birds, and then the thorns choke out some, and then
what happens?
Some fall on good soil, and so this is the parable of the mustard seed's the tiny seed.
The mustard seed's the tiny seed that grew. That's the for the kingdom of God.
Okay, so this would be the parable of the soils. Or the
this is the parable the of the soiled shorts is the what the Melissa's oh the talents no, the I'm talons
kidding. Wait, the coins. Remember? I'm going off.
Yeah, I get it. And TikTok is the crow that comes and eats the seeds. Is that one? Yeah.
Or the sun that scorched the seed. Mm-hmm.
I would love if somebody breaks this down for us. Could somebody please, I want a visual of someone, of which social media.
Instagram,
I'm not going to let you continue on this.
I think Patreon is the good soil.
Yes.
And that's a good segue.
There you Guys, if you're not familiar with Patreon, Patreon is a way that you can get a little more and give a little more to the podcast and all things Dustin Nickerson comedy. Starts as low as $5 a month.
Yep.
And that gets you access to things like, you know, you get some free stuff in the mail and some online discounts, and everybody gets the Zoom meet and greet. No, that's $10 and up for the Zoom meet and greet. And then you get up to levels where you're getting a shout out at the end of the podcast, meet and greets, all kinds of fun stuff. So check that out,
Nickerson,
everybody.
Christmas card. You get
That's coming up, baby.
It's coming up. You also
coming up.
Get news first and clips and such. Yeah. I mean, pretty soon you're going to have to start posting your tour dates there first.
I'm coming up.
Because you're just selling like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah. Me, I'm moving a lot of tickets in these side rooms in Indianapolis. We're adding shows that's 50-seater. Very grateful. But what I was going to say was, what he said in that video was that, A, these apps do not care about you.
Yeah.
They care about money, which is true. They do not.
Sure.
There was actually another creator. I'm going to go on a little TikTok rant here that he talked about. He was complaining. He does very well, too. He's pretty big. And he said he told a story of how he put money behind a sponsored ad because TikTok's algorithm is very, very good at knowing when you're trying to get them off the app to trying to convert a sale.
Yeah.
And so a logo, a tour dates, a poster,
link in bio,
anything like that. Yeah. Anything like that is they sense it. And a link in bio, click here, check the rest of this out on YouTube, all that stuff. They sense they want you on the app. And he said, like, so I did it. I had a thing that I was promoting. And so I put some money behind it and the views went up, but the comments didn't go up. And he goes, what that's so clearly telling me is that they bumped those with artificial views. And that's what happened with the one time I boosted a post there. It got hundreds of thousands of views and no additional comments. So I'm like, who are you showing this to? I mean, it leads you to think that it's artificial, like they're not actual.
They just click like, up the number.
I sponsored the tour video and it put like 400,000 views on it and 5 comments, which like my worst videos get 5 comments on them.
Right.
So anyways, it's bonkers. But he said, remember, these apps don't care about you. And then the second thing that he said was the third thing he said was to take care of your mental health, of course. But then he did say in there, like, what I thought was interesting was like, this is such a weird app and a weird experience, and that you can like laugh at something. And then the next thing you can see someone sharing their final moments of having terminal cancer with their family and like cry over that, and then get a commercial for Mountain Dew, all just swipe. It is a crazy experience, which all that to say, the podcast listeners are the best because you know us more. And that's what it's like listening to podcasts. You feel like you know the people because you do, because you're honest and it's long form and you
weekly.
It's there's more nuance to what you do. You know, you have context for us. And I don't know, I always, when you guys are backseaters and you say that in the meet and greet lines, I always love it. And I can sense it right away because we have so much to talk about right away. Like,
oh, yeah,
just inside jokes of the pod, or they'll be like, oh, I miss Steven. They never say that, Steven. But there's a lot of where's Melissa's, which I don't always love because it's like, hey, you're not good enough. And where's your wife? I bet you're lonely. And I am. And she's and I tried to call her earlier, but she was stressed. So she's like, now's not a good time. And
who, me?
Hives boy. And I was like, really?
Not all again. Not again. I was thinking about that. Like, I said that when I was 17.
Yeah. I mean, I said so many.
21 years ago.
So many worse things. That's how rarely you insult me that when you do, I remember it for that long. So anyways, everybody, thanks for being backseaters. Really appreciate it. Speaking of live shows, we were recording this in the past. Thank you, Seattle and Spokane. You were great.
The best.
You were great. I know in advance that you're great because 3 of the 4 shows are already sold out in my real time right now. And this is a day and a half out. And I would be very surprised if that late show didn't sell out. Furious. Spokane's selling really well, too. Definitely the best we've ever sold there. So, and it's the Northwest, which I always like. It's always fun to go up there. I wish you were going to Spokane with me, but someone's got to wear a high school reunion.
Yep.
Which we will digest that more when we get back. So, because then we'll have, when next time we record this, we're going to hear all about Mel's 20-year high school reunion. So other upcoming tour dates, finishing off August, let's see here. I think this episode might come out this day. I think this is 8/31 in the future. Does that make sense?
Check.
Oh my gosh, are we in the room?
Yes.
Yeah, it's, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, tonight I am finishing my August tour dates in Raleigh. And then tomorrow, as we go into September, the 1st, I'm in Charlotte, the 2nd and 3rd in Indianapolis. We did add a late show there. Maybe we added a second show. I don't know. The future is crazy.
Whoa.
And then the 4th, Kansas City, the 16th, Atlanta, the 17th, Minneapolis. Only tickets available to the late show on that one. The 18th in Portland. We are then going to September 23rd in Lynchburg at Liberty University, mm-hmm. the 25th in Louisville, the 29th in Houston, September 30th and October 1st in Austin, October 2nd, Dallas at the Edison Improv, October 14th and 15th at Royal Oak in Michigan, and then we end this run of the tour in Philadelphia, which is great club. I love that club so much, at the Helium Comedy Club on October 19th. We will have more tour dates, headlining tour dates, starting off in January, and mm-hmm. we'll kind of tour periodically in between other tours that I'm on, but we'll be starting on January 6th and 7th in St. Louis, Missouri. So that's what's coming up, everybody. Don't make me come back. What? Sorry. DustinNickerson.com/shows to check all that out. So what
good
we have to
stuff.
What we have to recap is, well, let's start by our own experiences. I think maybe we talked about this a little bit, but neither of us in our respective athletic careers, I started playing baseball. I did T-ball when I was 5. I played baseball, or I played, well, baseball.
Soccer.
But I did sport. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Baseball, soccer, football, wrestling. Did every, like, level of sports for the next 11 to 12 years.
Yeah.
Before quitting and, you know, after American Legion baseball. Not anywhere in there did I do a trip anywhere near compared to what Gloria has now done twice.
I know.
And you, who strong baseball player, even better basketball player.
Don't forget volleyball.
No, but you are, you played a lot of sports. You did gymnastics, where you did do some traveling for, and some cheerleading, which you did stuff, some traveling for.
Like,
and
one, we would go on one trip.
Yeah. And then you were also,
it was like 2 nights.
Well, and let me finish the resume here. And then you were also a state cross country track runner. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you ran cross country in college.
Yeah.
And even then, nothing like, and this is, I guess this is a niche sport thing. And
it really is. Yeah.
Because if you play baseball, you don't have to go very far to find big baseball tournaments. They're around.
Yeah.
You know?
Like our friends who do travel baseball, it's like, maybe you're going to Arizona.
Yeah,
maybe they're going Inland Empire.
Maybe they're driving by that huge Little League statue we always drive by on the way to Vegas out in Riverside or wherever that is.
Riverside,
you know,
yeah.
Or Colton or whatever it may be. Oh, yeah, we get that drive coming up. I haven't done that one in a while.
Nice.
We might fly.
unless David you Spade make bit.
Like
four
the
World
hours.
Series.
It's like four or 5 hours. It's easiest drive. Yeah, yeah. When? It's never been. It's, what do you, go on Christmas Eve?
It's just long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but the Little League World Series, which like, you know.
Then you travel.
1% or less.
Then they go to somewhere in Pennsylvania.
0.001%.
Well, I think it's like Hershey where the track one is. I think.
Oh, that's cool.
The Little League World Series is... Oh, I think it might rotate.
Oh, does it move? Yeah.
It might rotate.
That makes sense. Well, I think canoeing and kayaking, you got to get your craft out there to get your boat out there.
Right. It's just...
And then every kid essentially does 10 races and prelims and finals.
Here's how we know it is pretty niche. Because again, this isn't crew. Crew is around.
Rowing.
Rowing is around. Mm-hmm. This is competitive canoeing, which sounds like a youth group game. Like it sounds
competitive
like a
canoeing.
It sounds
but it's
like
an
a,
Olympic sport.
It's an Olympic sport. It's a full-on crazy thing. But if she were in crew, we would be doing these in
the regattas would be in Orange County.
In Orange County. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe every once in a while we'd go up to Santa Barbara, you know. Maybe get crazy and go up to slow, you know, like it would be wild when we do that. But here we have to go to Ohio and Oklahoma because for whatever I don't know why they're there either. This is a debate we've been having for a long time about why do they make, because the two biggest programs, right, are on the West Coast. Isn't it us and Gig Harbor?
Yeah, most of the big programs are on the West Coast, but the American Academy of Canoeing Association, ACA, something like that. They all get to choose.
I bet that's like the fourth, you know, the fifth most well-known ACA. I bet there are way bigger ACA. Well, it's also...
And then your city has to bid, or your club has
to
bid.
Right.
And then I think it's just the cost.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day...
Because it's a week in August.
Yeah, because
you
were staying at a Holiday Inn, Hampton. What were you in? You were at
something like...
The
I
definition
think it was like
of
a Hampton,
mid-level.
Like a three-star hotel.
Yeah, for like $129 a night. And I'm here to tell you that that does not exist in San Diego. Yeah, and not in July.
When we were, it was more pandemic in Oklahoma City. If you bought six nights, you got the sixth night free.
Oh, hilarious.
And
yeah.
So like that hotel was like even cheaper. So,
yeah.
But that was pandemic travel. So
you mean to tell me that no one was trying to get to Oklahoma City in August?
Yeah.
Love you, Oklahoma City. You know I like Oklahoma City. Bricktown Comedy Club. I bet I'll be coming back soon. But
I'll be honest, Ohio is so much nicer climate-wise than Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like you're just dripping with sweat in Oklahoma City.
Ohio is coastal-ish. You know, there's a little more green out there.
It's very green.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of lakes and
Oklahoma City's a cool city, though.
The complex was amazing.
Yeah.
The racing complex.
Yeah, because you weren't even really in a city on this one.
They were like joking about oil money, like built the complex and stuff.
No, Oklahoma City is a very cool city. Aesthetically, I mean, this goes for a lot of Texas and stuff. They have their moments like over water and stuff. But Oklahoma City is a cool city. You were between Cincinnati and something, right?
I know. I had to continue to figure out where we were.
Hilarious.
Because I almost booked our travel with you incorrectly. We were outside of, what was it? Cincinnati. But we did find, so we just stayed in kind of like where the mall was, but the mall had closed right by all the freeways.
Right.
That's where we were. But I did find the hipster neighborhood.
In Cincy?
Yeah.
Every city has one now. Taylor and I talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can get an oat milk latte in almost any mid to small size city in America. And Cincy is a bigger city. Cincy is a city. They have sports teams and concerts and life.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati's a big city. And there's going to be a hipster area everywhere. There's going to be vintage shops.
Yep.
You can get an overpriced old crew neck sweatshirt and an oat milk latte.
For $100.
Yes.
So I last time I didn't have a car. I didn't have a car this time. I shared a car with a family. But Milford had like,
what's Milford? Is this the cool area?
Yes. We found a brewery that was canoeing themed.
We have to hold that thought. Have we talked about this on the podcast
canoeing
yesterday?
Themed brewery.
Sometime in the last 10 years, breweries became a staple of family dining.
I know.
Who saw that coming?
They're like, it's a bar with a bunch of beer.
Yeah.
And you can bring your kids.
Like, this is the... Maybe we did talk about this.
I think we did.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to talk about it again.
I'm trying to remember. No, that was the Padres games.
Oh, wait. But I was talking about it because Joel came to my show at Tembler Brewing Company in Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, brewery. They're going to have good food. And I'm like, what? I'm trying to think about what
I think it's similar to like pizza joints.
Right.
Like in the 80s.
That's a good point. That's exactly what they are. They are kind of now the pizza joints.
Except
there's no video games, but kids have kind of grown out of that anyways because those games
are in their pockets.
Yeah, that video game, as great as the Simpsons arcade game is, that cannot compete with what's on their phone.
I mean, I still like the nostalgia of like the old.
When was the last time we went to a pizza place?
Exactly.
Like, we don't. That's
we
like
went
a,
to Blind Lady a couple years ago.
And
a family,
that's a brewery.
And that's a brewery.
Blind Lady Brewery that has pizza.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting comparison. Somewhere in the last 10 years, breweries took over
the family dining experience.
And you know what I think the segue was? Shakey's. Because Shakey's, even though it's out of business now, was a pizza joint, but it had better food and better beer. And I think that's kind of like what, like, parents, we can't do Chuck E. Cheese because you're like, I hate this whole experience here.
Yeah.
But I can do a brewery with maybe like a screen. Maybe it's not as much fun for the kids.
I don't know. Our kids are older and they actually like food.
Food. Yeah.
So they don't.
Claire doesn't. Claire's just looking for a good quesadilla.
This is just cheese based. Yeah. our older children care about the food quality to some degree.
The reason, here's why the brewery works and here's why it worked for you guys. Good enough food, good beer option, and it's loud. That's why it's family friendly, is that it's loud.
So we took over, this, I actually planned this outing. We took over like the roof, you know, like the rooftop.
Right.
and then you paid at the bar, so we didn't have to like split all the checks
up. Oh my gosh.
Just ordered the bar.
You guys had a rooftop.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah.
Because one of these canoeing founders and Olympians,
uh-huh.
he had grown up in Carroll County.
Oh.
And he has a park named after him on the water.
Oh my gosh.
And he used to train.
Yeah.
He used to train in Ohio, like with him and his siblings. Like he didn't have a club team.
He had a park named after
and he
him.
Got
That's
a
crazy.
Park named after him. So Jim Terrell. Yeah.
I thought about
so
this
it was,
yesterday.
Like, this whole thing. And he was there. He was with our team, well, helping our team and stuff.
If I thought about this yesterday, okay. if there was ever like a thing named after me, say like things go pretty well for me.
Yeah.
And then I die, which okay. I will.
Yeah.
What's that like for the like family member to like associate with?
I think it's a tribute.
Yeah.
Or, like it's sweet.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
name
would
after me?
Would you go to it? Would you? No, I mean, I know. That's why I was thinking about that too. Like an
I'm
art
kidding.
Center or something, or like that would be
yeah,
a Melissa Nickerson
it's like
Art
a,
Center.
Our kids might be mad.
Well, that you're dead?
No, that we gave all the money to the art center.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, I guess that. But this, did he build that park or did they just name it in honor of him? Because normally it is, I guess it is probably in honor of whoever.
Sometimes I think there's monetary donations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get naming
like
rights.
Like a legacy.
That's an interesting thought, too. That you're like, because I would love, you know, if you died, you know, I would love to like do that. But then you'd be like, I mean, like, how big of an art center are we talking about here?
Now like, we need a foundation.
Yeah, I don't know if we can. I would love to do this. I might just go, what do you get? Can I get a parking spot? At the Art Foundation. No? Okay. I'm just going to go carve our initials into a tree.
Well, the principal at our kids' middle school still jokes with us that they need a performing arts center.
Yeah.
And he's like, when you hit it big.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're like, when I hit it big, my kids are going to be out of the school.
$1 million.
So I can remember all the legendary performances my children have had here. That is funny. I hadn't heard him make that joke in a while.
I haven't either, but he used to make it.
So you went to the brewery. It was great.
Yeah. Sports trips are a lot of work. It's like so much planning to get everybody there and like it's and I it's what just was, like organized chaos.
What was the biggest one you ever won on a kid? What I remember as a kid is going I remember a soccer tournament where we all went to Kitsap County. This is
South
multiple time. East, two podcasts in a row I've been referring to Kitsap County.
Right. South Kitsap. We ran against them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We went down there and we stayed at a hotel for a couple nights. And I just remember like hanging on the pool in the hot tub. And it was great. You didn't even care about the soccer games, right?
No, I had like two or three nights.
Yeah. On,
because our state cross
when you
country
would do state, right?
Meet,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
For
and that to me
on the
is
east
so
side of the state. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. That to me would feel so different because A, your whole team's not there. Like you
no.
individually qualified
yeah,
for that.
And I usually would bring like a teammate.
And it's not yeah. a, like when you have a soccer tournament, you're nervous, but you're nervous with your team. It's like being in a band versus being a comedian. You're mm-hmm. nervous together. That's a very high pressure situation for you.
Yes.
Like you're uh-huh. not like, hey, we're out with all our friends and we're in hotels and we're playing cards in the that's
hallway.
Not, that's a yeah. team travel situation. Mm-hmm. It's very, very different.
Yeah. Well, there's always that every time you travel with a team like of youth, right? There's that one night when that you get like it's youth group or youth sports where you get the lecture like.
Yes.
You know, you're all being way too loud
yes,
in this hallway. And,
yes, yes, yes,
and
yes.
This hotel's never going to let us come back. They've already told us that.
Yeah, I've given that lecture as a youth pastor.
Just, I thought better of you. I'm so ashamed.
Yeah, you gave them a disappointed thing.
Behavior.
Yeah.
And it's usually like the last night.
Yeah. Man, you're like, hey, man, we're done here.
We better get out of
yeah.
town.
Then take us back to the brewery. We're allowed to be there. Well, this usually also comes after they like trashed a common space.
Yes.
Like if you've ever seen the breakfast area after a team rolls through.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely thrashed. Just stuff, you know, like the waffle stuff is pouring out everywhere. You know, everything's real sticky. They didn't pour any of their juice anywhere. The cereal thing is just awful, just spilled everywhere because none of them were using munchie mugs. Did you see that one coming or no?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't think of any scenarios.
Scenarios, yeah. Oh, if there's one thing I know, it's a hotel common area thing. Yeah. Guys, if you're not familiar with Munchie Mug, it is a friend of the podcast, and
right.
It is the best spill-proof cup on the market. We are big fans of Munchie Mug. If you have something in your life that you don't want spilled, particularly a snack for a child, mud honeys,
that's Muddy Buddies,
Mud Honey is a famous 90s Seattle grunge band. Muddy
Buddies,
Muddy Buddies, that which makes so much more sense. Muddy Buddies. Popcorn, pretzels.
I'm thinking of those pretzel twists.
Yeah. M&M's, M&M minis, almond M&M's.
They make Reese's M&M's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't make those.
M&M's, oops, all berries.
Nerds.
What nerds? Nerds, oops, toddlers all
need,
berries.
Need nerds.
Yeah, whatever it is in your life that you don't want spilled, Munchie Mug is, it's great. It's great. It's the product for you. You got a little sensory, like a little fabric lid there, dishwasher safe, made right here in the USA. And if you go to munchiemug.com and use promo code DON'TMAKEME, you're going to get 25% off your entire order. That is munchiemug.com. Use promo code DON'TMAKEME. That's all one word, no apostrophes, don't make me, and get 25% off your entire order. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Dun, dun.
Munchie Mug. Used to do that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. You know, rest in peace, Steven. We named an open mic after him. In his- Yeah, right, Steven. You're so funny. You quit. These streets want you back, buddy. They do. Okay, edit that part out, though, Steven. I don't want people to know that I actually sincerely care about you in any way. okay. And overall, though, let's talk about this trip. Like, a win, a loss, good. I mean, because here's the thing. When I book that, it's 7 days. Every time I book that for you, and I book all the travel in the hotel, just because it's something that I'm good at, and I'm good at finding deals and stuff, I go, man, I wish you would quit this sport. I don't... And then I'm like, I mean, is this going to get her a scholarship at Point Loma? Please, please, please. Is this going to be, your brother had this old rule that I think about a lot, right? He said like in band, like you need to, play like a rare instrument, like a French horn.
Yeah.
Or
no oboe. My sister played the oboe.
He played the French horn though.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, it's kind of similar to like in baseball where you're like if you're left-handed, if you're a switch hitter,
right,
there's just, it's easier to find a way because they need that. There's not a lot of those around. And so I guess maybe with kayaking, you're like, I mean, I suppose there might be some schools where you can go do this and this is a way to do it. But I don't know. It seems like it's very hard. This, we struggle with this a lot in parenting in general. The hardest thing to teach a child is perspective. And so algebra is harder than perspective, but
in our house,
because there's just always someone that they, like our daughter recently told someone in her school that her parents work all the time and are gone all the time. And I'm just like, that is just factually inaccurate. Like, you, because
she feels like that. Well, that, in that moment.
And that's what she feels like.
Yeah,
and you don't want to devalue the feeling in any way, but you go, yeah, I do travel a lot for work. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to deny that. Usually, I look at this. I average about 3 days a week gone. That's usually what I average.
I travel more than the average parent. However, I work from home.
You work from home.
So I pick her up and drop her off
every
day.
There's no ESS.
It's like
there's no
6 hour span.
Summer day camps. There's no, I'm like, we talk about that, like, particularly our youngest, you're like, your social life is us. Like when you're at home, she doesn't do a lot of independent play. She wants to play with us. She wants to sit with us. She wants to draw with us. And she has all that. Well, I mean, I've done, about, what are we, 14 days into school, something like that?
I've done
about 7-8 days of homework with her far. Like, there's, we're very involved.
It's just, she just forgets the hours that we accumulate, like, on her minimum day. It starts at 1:30.
Right.
You know, and if you hang out with her from 1:30 till 8:30, which you do,
yeah,
that's 7 hours.
You're taking her to...
Plus, you already took her to school in the morning. You know, so
it's a lot of time. But she feels that way, and that's fine. But you also...
And on weekends.
This is my old bit that I took a lot of crap for online, but you're just like, are you going to remember this accurately? Or...
In therapy, when you're an adult.
When in therapy, are you going to remember what actually happened here? But there is no... What she's saying there is, I don't like when... you're not here for my needs. That's what she's saying. And that's a fair thing. I don't like when you're not available for my needs. But but we can kind of look at it and be like, hey, we know we've had busier seasons of life. When I was working at the rec center and doing comedy,
when
I was working at the rec center, I was like, when I was working at a mega church, you wouldn't see me. That's probably the least amount of time that I spent with the kids was when I was working at Mars Hill.
Yeah, you worked like 15 hours on Sunday.
And Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Like, because they were just long, long. There was a season there where we were executing three youth groups in three different places right when Joel had been born.
Yeah, you know? Were working Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, plus events.
So
plus
we
meetings.
Have that perspective. Yeah. And we also know that we are fortunate and that. You absolutely do work, but you don't have a traditional like go into job. So there's always a parent in our house, if not two parents. I think our house has two parents in it a lot. You know, I feel that.
I know that we hang out more than most couples get to.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've merged our work together.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we're very grateful for that. But it's very hard to teach a child that perspective. So to kind of bring it back to the sports stuff that you're like, you just want to like look at your kid and be like, nobody gets to do this. Like, your peers don't get to do this. I got very angry at Gloria at the table the other day because we were talking about all the different places that we've been. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of kept doing this thing where it was like, well, we haven't been to Hawaii and we haven't been. And it's like, well, we've never been overseas. And well, we don't travel as much as blank family does. And I just finally was like, could you leave the table? Because we're actually just talking about all the amazing places. Like, they have Joel cannot wait to get back to New York. And you were 37 before you made it to New York.
Yep.
And he was 13.
Yeah.
So, but. I think
you just want what you don't have.
I think you want what you don't have. And I think, I don't know this, but I think the right move as a parent is still to provide all of those things for them, try and teach them the perspective, and then know that as literally their brains form more accurately, they will get it because life will hindsight. Give you perspective because that it does that. It you know, like you are, I would say you're probably more grateful for your European family trip now than you were in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you have the perspective of, I don't know, everybody...
Well, now I would have to pay for it.
Yeah.
For my family of five.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the thing. Everybody, parenting will really give you some perspective of what it was like for you, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And I do think that like, it's like...
So what I say with when you're a parent, you have your past and your future in the same room with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and your present. So it's just like, it's a lot.
It is a lot, yeah.
But I think for Claire, because she's like me, and I think what she is trying to say is, I just want to fit in and check all the boxes. And my dad isn't home on like Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
And I just, and that is not true. Not every family has a dad. Not every family, you know, dads work weekends or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she just, it would just be more comfortable for her if it was traditional.
The statement might. I don't think that that,
well,
I don't think that
last part,
in her head. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that the statement is accurate. I do think that the feeling is valid. Like, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, this is, if that makes sense. It's a totally normal way to feel. But, you know, who doesn't feel that way? I mean, I feel that I say all these things about our children and then I go in my career or in our life and I go, oh man, if we just owned a home, if we just owned one of those big homes over by the high school. That's all we need. That would be incredible. Oh, if I just got a TV deal. Oh, if I just, you know.
Right.
You know, if Melissa was just nicer every once in a while. Sorry.
Now we're dreaming.
Well, no. Let's not get unrealistic here. Sorry, we hadn't been funny in a while there, so I broke the tension.
We really went off, which is fine.
I am glad we are providing it for her. I would love to it to like ooze gratefulness, but you cannot expect that from a child because it is not their responsibility to validate you as a good parent. It is your
response. It's not.
It is your responsibility to be a good parent. It is not their responsibility to validate you as a good parent.
Yeah, that's pretty profound.
How to Parent, Joel, Gloria, and Claire.
By Dustin Nickerson.
Coming to you 4 to 6 years from now.
It's very good.
Let's do some emails, everybody. Emails. This has been
a lot. That was a lot. It's like, just like my brain's like ping pong balling or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to my life. Yeah,
on an emotional level.
This is a nice segue because today is Wednesday, August 24th. Tomorrow, Mel and I leave on a trip, and this is in the past for you guys, but today is a prep day, and this subject is Mel's trip prep, and this is from Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Dustin and Melissa.
I hope it's my sister, Sarah.
No, it is not.
Sorry. I'm ready.
Sorry, you mentioned your sister Sarah. Got me excited. It's a little surprise. I don't know if you're listening to this, Sarah, but there's a surprise. We're pregnant. Kidding. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. I can absolutely relate to Melissa's trip prep routine. Recently, my husband went out of the country to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. We have two young sons, 3 and 5 years old, and we didn't know how much contact we would be able to have while we were away, so it felt imperative to leave a lengthy care guide, in quotes, for both sets of grandparents to follow. I'm not going to lie. I was quite proud of this 12-page document containing their schedules, favorite TV shows, snacks, hospital location, and important numbers. Upon our return, my husband's father told me that he asked our 3-year-old where the extra garbage bags were located, and he was able to show him. Great job, buddy. However, it was also at that moment that I realized that all of my effort was in vain because the location of the garbage bag was on page 4 of the care guide. thanks for all the laughs, Sarah. Sarah, that is very funny, Sarah. Very, very
That's
funny.
So cute. I know. You write these lists for, you know, your loved ones, your babysitters, and it just all seems so important. But then you're like, if you only read page 1, what would you put on page 1?
Yeah. That's true. I think it's the hospital stuff, right?
Yeah, I already got that.
Yeah.
I tend to go day by day with the old schedule, too.
Yeah, that's how I pack.
I know.
And so I do.
I am getting a little better at packing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's taken me just so many repetitions to finally kind of whittle it down.
Yeah. Yeah, you find what system works for you. You know what goes where and what can you pack and what can you not pack. Like,
did you want to talk about New York or no?
Nah, I'll do it another time. Thanks for coming to that show, everybody. One more email here and then we'll do 2 bingo dingos.
Perfect.
This is from Jody. By the way, we love emails, guys. Don't make me come back there at gmail.com. Shoot
Tell
us emails with questions, your life,
travel,
what you got going on.
Sports.
Dear Dustin and Mel, I need some podcast recommendations. Your pod is my favorite thing to listen to while I work my graphic designy job. Oh, cool. But one episode a week clearly isn't enough to fill my job life. What would you like? What do you like to listen to? Give a Mel and Dustin list. All the thanks. I have a short list. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to 2 pretty regularly. And that is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I like Conan's podcast a whole lot.
It too.
It's very funny. The laughs per minute is just insane. And so
the
I like
what of it?
Laughs per minute.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A little comedy term, a little LPM. Laughs per minute are show high. So check that out. That's a big famous one. And then I'm also in my, you know, comic book and TV movies and nerdy pop culture stuff. I listen to Mr. Sunday Movies. I'm sorry, The Weekly Planet. with Mr. Sunday Movies. The Weekly Planet is probably the podcast I listen to the most. It's real nerd stuff.
And then you listen to some sports stuff, but those are just clips.
Oh, I'll listen to them replaying their sports radio stuff. And then, you know, I'll see clips all the time. Theo's and like comedy podcasts, sure. Theo's and Rogan's and Bert and Segura's and, you know, all those guys' stuff. But it's hard to start a new podcast. You're like, where do I get? Mm-hmm. It's like we saw Dawes last night. We'll talk about that in a second, but
yeah,
it's like he said, like, hey, have you guys ever heard of us? And some of them are like, no. And he's like, well, we've put out 8 albums.
He was funny about it.
He was very funny. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you have a good sense of humor when you're married to Mandy Moore.
There you go.
Life's been good.
You know which one I've been listening to, and this is very niche, is an ADHD podcast called Attitude. That it's very good, but that's only, you know, not everybody needs that in their life. And then I do love me some Typology, but I haven't listened in over the summer. That's my old He's a therapist and a priest, and he's an author, and he talks about personalities.
There you go.
Yeah. With guests.
Yeah. I don't know if that's, mm-hmm. You know, there's a variety there. You got some.
My third one is The Holy Post.
Yeah.
I listened to that one too with Phil Vischer.
Right. Yeah.
It's got some like faith politics in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. We've got a couple bingo dingoes. If you guys aren't familiar, this is where we review anything and everything that we want to review in regards to pop culture and media, music and TV shows and movies and so on and so forth. And two, we're going to do two today.
Just whatever we want.
Whatever we want to tell you that we did essentially or watch. First, we're going to review the Head and Heart concert that we saw last night at Humphreys by the Bay in San Diego here, including Dawes. That was there as well. I already know we're both going to say 5 out of 5.
It was like a top 3 concert for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I
actually think I can't think of the best 3 concerts that I've ever seen are Cage the Elephant and Beck. Thrice. There was a concert that I saw with Thrice, Brand New, and Me Without You, which are like 3 of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. And then this one, which was Dawes. Dawes is great. And then Head and the Heart was incredible. It's great.
I actually don't know what my number 2 is. I mean, Back in Cage is my number 1.
Well, Head in the Heart is probably your number 2.
Yeah, I think when we saw Brandy at the
I like the Brandy SDSU, San Diego better one. That was great.
SDSU,
yeah. Yeah.
Brandy was fantastic.
Yeah, that was that's a top 5 for me.
Yeah.
I also saw Bon Jovi and that was incredible. I'd like big rock bands, you know, put on great shows,
sure.
You know, but as far as like, this was like all the right things. Great venue size. Humphreys by the Bay is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do this a lot. I don't speak out loud goals and dreams. I want to play a show there. I want to headline a show there
and sell it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, at least sell well. I don't need to sell it out.
I think it's like 1,000.
It's like 14.
Okay.
You 14. Know, which is a huge jump. That would.
Yeah. Angela Johnson is going to sell out like 4.
I would have to. Humphreys. In order for it to do it, I would have to triple what I did in this last year. So my San Diego fan base would have to go, yeah, that makes it quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 6 months, mm-hmm. I doubled my, like from December 2021 mm-hmm. to July 2022, our ticket sales doubled in San Diego. Now there were more shows to pull from.
Sure.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you, there, it's not unattainable in your big markets. I could do a smaller venue here. Like if I'm selling 400 tickets in Seattle right now at this stage, you're like, oh, well, if this continues, there's venues that are, because if you can sell 700-800 tickets,
yeah.
You can play the 1,000-seater. They're not going to be like mad that it didn't sell out, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's like things can be great even if they didn't sell out. Like if last night wasn't a sellout and there was 300 empty seats, we'd be like, this is still great. Because think about how close we were in there. If anything, I would have loved if there was a little more room.
It was intimate. It was tight.
Yeah.
Band was great. Incredible.
Here's how I know. This has happened. I can actually only think of this happening 2 times ever for okay. bands that I've seen, where I go into them that show a fan and leave a bigger fan.
Yeah.
And that's Cage, The Elephant, and Head in the Heart, where I go, oh, I liked you. Now I love you. Like, mm-hmm. I've always liked your music for a long time, but now I'm like singing the songs that I wanted. It's such a good live show. You just appreciate the musicianship. And it's hard. Like, I saw a band, I'm not going to badmouth a band, but I saw a band randomly. I got some free tickets when we were in New York. That's like kind of a popping band right now. They're very young. Mm-hmm. They're very like big on TikTok, but I got some tickets and a friend was doing lights there. And that's why he's yeah. like, hey, do you want to come? Mm-hmm. And I watched and I was like, this is a young band. This is like a band that doesn't mm-hmm. know how to do this part of this as well yet.
Right.
I left because it's like, I went with Erica Sparrow, the comic. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't mm-hmm. need to watch this little boy dance any longer. I don't, you know, like this is not for me. And they haven't gotten this part down yet. Head and Heart has. Great live show.
Yeah. I think we looked it up. They were formed in what, 2009?
Yeah. Doing open mics in Ballard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible.
So we just missed
the bass player, who I'm in love with, the bass player. And like, I just want to hang mm-hmm. out with. That's so bad. He was the bartender at that venue and now is in that band.
That's amazing.
Incredible. That's amazing. Incredible show. Great live show.
And they have so many good songs.
Yes.
And when you see them live,
yeah.
they're way better.
And everyone was just in good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. We were joking. We were riffing. I was telling people, I was like, you know I'm loose when I tell people I'm a comedian.
I know.
Yeah, if I'm volunteering that information, I am in high spirits.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A
lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The tour's over, so...
You missed it.
You missed it. Next one. This is a little more applicable to the general population. She-Hulk.
On Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus. We've mm-hmm. watched the first episode. By the time this is coming out, the second episode has come out. But the first one is out. She-Hulk.
We don't want to do spoilers.
I won't do any spoilers.
Yeah. Okay. I know. I'm asking for
myself. Just speak too. Kind of vaguely about it. What do you think? What's?
I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's different.
Very different.
I'm trying to think. We've had female Marvel superhero like led movies.
Captain Marvel.
That I've watched, but I think she's like great.
Fantastic.
As far as like,
and there's been black. I think this is the fourth. They said that because there's been Captain Marvel,
Wonder Woman,
WandaVision. No, of just okay. MCU okay. Yeah. stuff. WandaVision. She was the lead of that.
Yeah, she was great.
And Black Widow had hers.
Black Widow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think she's just. Like a great casting and writing.
Yeah.
And she really carries it.
Right.
And I think it's fun, her interaction.
Yes. Here's
with
the thing.
Her other lead character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just keeping it vague.
It's in the previews. Hulk is in it in this first episode. And it's great. It's super fun. It's not super family friendly.
Yeah.
It's watch with your teens funny. Mm-hmm. You know what is interesting is I was actually watching that. And sometimes I'll be like, I'll think about my own act. And I'll be like, how there's like innuendo. And I was like, is this family friendly? And I was like, oh, no, this is like.
That's TV 14.
That's TV 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
as you guys all know, Disney Plus changed their ratings.
Yeah. 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 So they could put Deadpool on. I was like, I think I'm TV 12. Like, yeah. I, you know, mm-hmm.
Gloria's age.
I've always tried to be Pixar funny,
which I guess is PG 13.
Yeah.
PG 13 is, you aren't quite PG 13. That's why you're 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's just like they will say the cuss word.
Yeah, and the sex jokes. Yeah.
And I will mm-hmm. dance around them.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of those in there, just in case you're considering watching it with your young children. I think it's great. She-Hulk was one of the first characters that breaks the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with that, fourth wall is an old theater term, everybody, where the, because actors on a stage, right, they're supposed to act like there's a wall there at the front of the stage, and that's the fourth wall and the little space containing them. But when they would speak directly to the crowd, as the crowd, not whoever's out there, mm-hmm. as the crowd themselves, that's breaking the fourth wall. In comic books, they do the same thing. They speak to the audience directly.
The reader. Yeah.
And most famously, Deadpool does this constantly, and he does it in the movie. Oh, hi mm-hmm. there. You know,
yeah.
that was a little Ryan Reynolds there for me. Nice. I turned that on for a second. But She-Hulk did it way before. And She-Hulk mm-hmm. had like very cool, interesting comic booky things where she would like, they would draw it in such a way that she would be like kind of like ripping down one of the pages to transition into the next page. Like just fun.
It's fun.
Interesting, creative, quirky stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it's like, that's what this is. It's very fun. Like she does break the fourth wall. She talks. It's very upbeat.
It's like not stressful or like it's dramatic, but it's light hearted.
Okay, this is going to be a minor spoiler here. They were setting up the whole tension here of that she can control her powers a little better than Bruce because her life as a woman had more challenges and that she didn't oppress that like Bruce did. Like historically historically in the comics, the reason that Bruce Banner was that way is because he was like abused by a child and he never dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And so that was like an alter demon that came out of him when he got rage. And that's why he couldn't control it because he didn't. But she handled it like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And her life has, you know, been spent with having to deal with that better because like she says in it, like I get catcalled, I might get murdered. And there was a moment at the end where you knew she was going to transition. And I was like, oh no, they're just going to do it where she gets mad and does it. That's everything. That will undo everything that you've set up so far.
That was what was going to happen.
And that's not why it happens. And it's great. And it's very clever writing. And it's very unique. And I like it. I'm a big fan.
I like it too. What's your rating? 5 out of 5. What do you got out of 5?
Probably 4 out of 5, which is a high rating for
me. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week. Hey, folks. Want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up tier. That list is Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code DeGrow, Dave Hoagland, Damarius Diaz-Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farrah Journey, David and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, The Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ibling, Juliana Smith, Bonnie Galeando, and Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.